call is now being recorded.
This is Prince John Gaither Eli here with a treat, speaking with J.R. Gaither. Mr. Gaither, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company, its name, and what you're hoping to accomplish.
Well, basically, we're going to say I'm the average guy who realizes in life that if you want to achieve something, you're going to have to do something that other people aren't doing. And to have real success, you're going to help a number of people that you can to follow that same process. Some people call that new money. It's not really new money, but it's money that we as a public has produced that voluntarily, this amount is there for us to involve ourselves in, for each one of us to have more use of that money. Since that use is limited by other parties that we cannot control, so we have to get in that stream of money and get a part of it where we can sufficiently take care of our financial needs and both plan for the future. So ASI is basically that, a method to bring people in.
Is it ASI or is it ALSI, Advanced Life Solutions?
It's ALSI.
Okay.
Would be correct.
Tell us a little bit about that and how that figures into this term you use, stream of money.
Well, I mean, there's a stream of money out there that you know, let's say the volume of money, and that volume of money is circulating in particular matters. And my projection is to be able to pipe into that stream of money in the manner that everybody lives in, you know, things they need. They need lights, they need gas and groceries and a place to live. They need some method of being able to control their future. There are methods you can do that, and these methods start off from as low as, you know, no money to as much as $400 and $500 to be a participant in certain things. There are numerous methods out there that, due to the media, such, you know, Facebook, there's a counterpart to Facebook called the Sidetick, where all participating members, once you sign up and if someone, you get paid, you know, a dollar for each person, and other methods of networking to people that's in that media company. There's cheap ways of doing web pages, websites, you know, the father, make yourself visible to anyone who doesn't want to see what you're doing, and you want to reproduce. All the willing people who want to reproduce a matter whereupon they can augment their situation in life in a better way. It's there, and you know, you have a number of people. I met a young guy this other day. He's a 5-time felon. He can't get a job. Yet he has CDLs. You know, as we produce our own, let's say, networking companies, we can pick the cream of the crop of what people consider to be failed individuals. I mean, yes, you can say a percentage of people just not going to be productive, and that's true, a large percentage. But there's a small minority in there that's kind of the cream of a forbidden crop that are useful and can be useful to themselves if they can maintain their, let's say, drive to overcome their obstacles. So, you know, we want to make money. There's various methods that are that edify and advance ourselves, and we want to do the same thing for other people, because if it doesn't help everybody, you know, if it's not duplicable in everyone to some extent, is there a real benefit in it? Is there any real life in it? So that's, you know, to entertain life at every level in a more productive way, and prayfully where everyone can take their future in whatever areas that's left open to them with some control of it, which, you know, keep them in a state of mind that, hey, I'm winning, I'm producing. That and, you know, partnership with some people that are doing various things. One young gentleman, we won't call his name, he wants to open up a university for life. You know what you mean? I said, well, we want to, everybody needs some help in the obstacles of life. And so any way that we can come together and share our common energy, be that be in the form of labor, financial, monetary entity, or form, whatever it is, we can partnership and network and make a combined effort to advance.
Okay, it seems like, if I may interrupt you, it seems like your concept of ALSI is a company that allows people to get into creating real wealth by using networks, but also provide a way to give individuals who are locked out of traditional opportunities a way to succeed. Would that be a correct characterization of your
That'd
company?
Be a pretty good definition of what we want to do. You know, howbeit the MLO may be bigger than that, but if there's someone willing, then we want to find a way to make them able.
Okay.
You know, people get sick
like
and go
to
the
go
doctor.
I'd like to go back to an initial question is, what is your background in professionally? Has it always been what you're doing now, or what is your background in?
Well, you know, my background is would not be professional except as being a paid technician in the automotive business primarily. That's what it has been. No formal education. So therefore, the easy methods of making money that were available to most people who came from families who were already steeped in those conditions and knew those methods were not, didn't exist in my world. But, you know, they say that necessity is the mother of all invention. When you see something is not working or it's just taking too much effort to achieve any usable results, then one should begin to imagine and master their possibilities. So, you know, even when someone said, you know, I'm not a college guy, I don't talk well, I don't, you know, I'm not too ignored by things in life, there's a common ground where everyone is involved in the school of life. It doesn't matter how you equate your success as being good, bad, none, or whatever, we're all still swimming in the same river. If you're going to swim in the same river, or if you're going to swim in the river, why should you be willing to drown? So, you know, I would say that my perspective of reality is something that I think would be common with most people. You're alive. You're alive, engage, seek out the best possibilities that you can, and be determined to follow that to the end to whether it really has some fruit at the end of that rainbow or whether it's a dead end. But don't be satisfied when you know you don't have what's necessary for you to be successful in life. So, and I think that springs forth from everybody. Most people will deny that. But I think when they're shown the reality that is unrefutable, that's the essence of what they're involved in, they have to admit that, hey, you know what? I do need to engage myself, and even when it looks like it's just impossible, as long as the need is there, then there must be some way to achieve success for that need. I mean, you know, you cannot possess a need where there's no method to remedy that situation. Some people call that faith. You can call it faith if you want to. But I think you make it more simple than that. You need, people say they work for money. Well, money doesn't fulfill that all your needs, and what else do you do? Well, don't work with your hand all the time or find that exclusive how you're going to achieve your results. Work with your mind. It's the greatest muscle that you have. That may be a long definition, but you know, the reality is I like to think that everybody kind of sets or stands in the same opportunity, perhaps measured more or less pertaining to that individual, but everybody that has legs and feet stand up on their feet. So at some measurement, we're all common. There's no princes and kings. There's no specially privileged people. If you do find yourself having special privileges, then that's your obligation to give that wealth as much as possible to someone who may not seem to be as wealthy as you. And then in retrospect, oftentimes you find that person is quite wealthy themselves in some matter. There, with networking and working together, we get a plus. We augment each other. Some things work better than numbers show. And those are the best of things. We don't want to make money. We want to make money rightly. We want to make money that progresses people, that allows people to further investigate the more perfect things in the experience of life.
Okay. Yeah, some people might call that a social entrepreneurship. That's a term of the entrepreneur who seeks to bring about social justice. I'd like to ask you, how did you become an entrepreneur? How did you get into business?
Well, some of my family members ran their own business in the past, and I was a young teenager. I primarily worked for other people until in the mechanic business, automotive business, until I was 32, young 30s, and attempted to start my own business, but not too much business education, just the ability to work. That's not enough. You must combine work with some method that allows your work to be fruitful. From that, I seen that it's better to make money with your mind. If you have a certain aptitude or talent, which, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong for people to go out here and make money with their hands, because clearly that's not bad. But some of us will benefit other people if we're willing to expand ourselves and make the full use of our talents. At some point, if you find yourself having certain talents, to stay in one, let's say, vocation, then you're limiting yourself. And if you limit yourself, then you limit what you can do for other people. So I kind of evolved upon me that I did have some particular skills, which goes to show that I would say from the lesson of life that everyone has some peculiar skills. And if you have those peculiar skills.
Now, this first company that you started, what was the name of that company? And what were some of the difficulties you faced in operating it successfully?
Well, the name of the company was J.R. Cars. The problem operating successfully was just not knowing how to run a business. And, you know, it's run the business. You produce a product, but you must reproduce what you're doing. And each time you reproduce that action, you should make a profit from it. you're working, you're doing labor. And you must hold close to that formula and make sure that you do receive a profit from your labor, that it's not adding up in other methods whereupon you do not accumulate. Because if you're not accumulating wealth, you know, if you're working and getting nothing out of it, you call it what you want to call it, it's unprofitable. So there has to be a method, a business equation, whereupon you can easily observe that I have accumulated in this process. If you find, hey, I'm working and it seems like I keep losing and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm on paper, I'm making money, but in my bank account, I'm not accumulating anything. Well, you have to identify where your losses are at. And once identifying that, you have to stop that. Somehow, some way, I didn't do that. So you end up working way too much, getting burned out, needing a rest. And what will normally happen is most people will say, well, I'm going to disengage from this method. And in reality, that's the wrong thing for them to do, because once they have in their mind conceived being somewhat control of their own wealth-making equation, if they depart from that, they're often not happy working in someone else's money-making equation. So they'll find that they'll wish they could have went back and did what they were doing correctly. And so I would say at this stage in my life, that's what we want to do it right. You know, we want to make it work on paper. And when it works on paper, we want to see the results of that, both in achievement with people and achievement in the monetary matter. And it's not as easy. You know, you do need some coaching. You know, you need some people who say, you know, I've been down this road, I made money. Let me tell you this, you know, if you see it coming, if you see the train coming, but the train never gets to the train stop, you need to find out why.
May not answer your question. No, I think it answers the question well, if that's what you were going to say. It seems like your initial foray into the business world, you've taken some time to reflect and dissect it and see some of the mistakes as you come into your current company.
Yes, yes. I've seen the mistakes that I made that could have been easily remedied. But, you know, a little problem can, if not corrected, will gain speed and momentum and become a problem like a big thief in the night and just become uncontrollable. Just something now that has gained so much momentum has put you in a mind stupor where you're just not able to redirect and gain momentum going the other way. Now, there's no secret to the game. If you do sound business processes, you do sound numbers, you make money. If you don't, you cast yourself the chance of the wind, and that ain't good. That allows have no directions in the wind and just bolt about. You don't want to do that. But it's a learning process if you don't have someone to guide you. So, you know, our company, you know, anyone that we get involved with in the vocation of business, we want to be able to say, hey, listen, here's the things that you want to do, and here's the things that are essential so you can begin to progress in this equation. Because if you're working and not making money, there's something going on. Find a solution. Fix it. It can be a learning tool, but a learning tool that doesn't help you advance and get to a place of profitability is not a learning tool.
Now, would you making that comment there about needing coaching? Let's switch over to the current economic climate. I want to ask you a question. In the United States of America, of course, small businesses have been hit very hard by this economic recession the past 3 years. As we look at things going forward into 2012, unemployment is around 10% officially. There's not a lot of capital out there for startup businesses. What would you say the wisdom is in starting a business? Should a person wait, or should they go into it anyway, despite the economic situation and banks not lending?
Well, a person has to assess their position. They have to assess the what they judge their ability to perform in the endeavor that they get into. And they have to look and see what the needs are. You know, what's out there that you can make money with? What are people paying for? And, you know, when you look at the basis, what do people need? Well, they need food. They need power at their house. They need water. They need a building. They may need a car. And they need some method of paying for that, which they may have, but they can always use some augmentation about that. And they need some legal protection. They may need, you know, they may want to get involved in having some entertainment, some phone service. That's a common thing that a lot of people use. That's a data stream of money, because that's money that's being spun. So how do we help those people spend that money more correctly? And if we help them spend that money better, there's a financial reward for those who are able to augment them in their use of their money towards those things that they find necessary for their life, so that they can get past those, you know, more basic commodities and needs and have the necessary methods whereupon they can prepare for the future. So they can be someone who has some choices due to their position, due to their monetary shape of effecting what happens to them without laying there and being the old brown leaf that gets blown around by the river, by the wind. So there's your money stream that initially is available. That's there. That's what people are spending. There's a certain amount of wealth that people have to have, because they have to have those things to exist for those who control the money to keep them as a productive entities for them. You know, they're not worried about them being productive for themselves. They're not worried about the worker getting ahead. They worry about themselves getting ahead through the efforts of the worker. So you have to become an entrepreneurship for yourself. You have to think of what progresses you. And perhaps if you would take the mindset of saying, I work for this company and they pay me X dollars an hour, I kind of really feel like they're working for me, so me work for them, because I'm going to take what I get from them and use it to my betterment, not just to survive. We don't want to just survive. That's a minimum achievement we want. We want to do better than that. We want to live. We want to live. And living means you have some options about life. You have opportunity to enjoy life, the opportunity to partnership with the greatest commodity that we have, and that is ourselves. We are the great commodity. You know, not wheat, not food, not gas, not have furniture, not any type of electronic media, clothes such as that. We ourselves become the great commodity that enables us to have the ability to improve each and every one of us.
That's very powerful, that term of calling people the great commodity. So that's very powerful there. So it seems like, from your point of view, a person should definitely get into entrepreneurship, but they should take some time to assess how they can get into, as you call it, the money stream.
Yes. They most definitely find some method whereupon, through partnership with other people with the like matter of interest who are seeking methods to, as one would dip a dipper into a bucket of water to intercept that data stream and acquire some workable wealth for themselves. Yeah, that's because, as you said earlier, you can't make money by borrowing money. You make money by being on the plus side of the equation of money. And so we're not going to make money by interest. We may be sold that, but at any time we know that can just flash and go away. But we're going to make money by accumulating wealth and then having the option of turning that wealth into a more sustainable commodity, such as you want some hedge against the paper money, silver and gold. Doesn't have to be silver and gold. A man, it takes $10,000 and go out and buy $10,000 worth of food that is not imperishable. Definitely has a commodity that, in time of need, is worth more than money. I mean, if you had for the people person needed to survive, and all they had was gold, they wouldn't keep the gold and starve it there. So it gives you, as you dip into the data stream and acquire some workable wealth, you have the option of how you're going to deal with it and prepare for the future. Where it is, of course, advisable to have something that's not at the total deciding of what's valuable by the stock markets or by the Federal Reserve Bank. We want something that's a little more, or quite a bit more solid than that. And essential commodities are definitely something in a time of trouble is going to allow us to continue to exist. Knowledge, knowledge is a great commodity with us, ourselves, and then usable commodities that are with some measure of self-sustainability to them, is a great commodity to look forward to, because times are uncertain. And as they say, the future favors the prepared. And if you don't take some state of mind preparing yourself for what's coming, then you can't expect something good to happen. I mean, we're not expecting it to be easy. At some point it becomes difficult. But difficult is one thing. Impossible is another. If you don't prepare, then it's literally impossible for you to expect to survive with any type of comfort in the future.
And you're making me think of the movie The Incredibles, the lady who made the super suits for the family. She made that comment about Jack. I think preparation is one of the things that is very critical in business. And with that being said, I want to go back to what it seems that a lot of entrepreneurs overlook, and that's business planning. When you did your first foray into business, did you do a traditional business plan, or is that something that you left out And if you
totally
did,
agree,
why did that happen?
Totally agree. Just not at all had ever been, let's say, exposed to that, both as a concept and both as a method. Too often, I think, is looking back at that, and even with people that I am currently involved with, they see a business plan as being trying to scale the Himalayan mountains. And that's not the way it is. But often that's how they look at it. They look at it often that way, that they're trying to scale the Himalayas, so they shouldn't even deal with a business plan. Just go out and work as hard as they could and hustle and make money and get ahead. But that's going at things blindly. And it's pretty hard to get a blind person to tell the difference between purple and gray. He just didn't have the tools to do it. And that's often where people who don't do a business plan find themselves, working hard, not seeing the results, because they can't gauge where they're losing their money at, since they don't have a proper observation of the sequence whereupon they're doing their business. Where if they knew where they were at all times, when they made the wrong turn, they could easily remedy that. Hey, I made a turn here, and that turn should have been farther down the road, because this turn is going to take me to a place where it's not my plan to be at, which is to fail. You know, we don't need to plan to fail, but when you don't plan to succeed, what's going to happen? You're going to fail.
Right.
Doesn't matter how hard you work, how much dedication you have, you did not plan to succeed. And if you don't plan to succeed, you're going to fail. Too often that's looked at as dreaming by small business people. Hey, I just can't, there's no way I can do it the right way. I got to just hustle and make it work. Well, the problem with not doing it the right way is having someone come behind you and duplicate what you're doing. It would be obviously be a huge problem. Where if it's done the right way, now you got a pattern of success. You know, McDonald's and these franchises are successful. They don't need geniuses to run them. They got a script, a method of how to operate. And if you follow that script, even loosely, you make money. It's as simple as that. So the small businessman who does not have a good business plan that whereupon he can achieve his results running at half speed is not likely to have success. And someone said, well, I hope we just go 100%. I said, do you they got speed limits going to the interstate. And those speed limits are there for your safety. Whereupon that driving a reasonable amount of speed that you can, that can be traveled at safely, you can reach your destination in the appropriate time successfully. So that's kind of my observation, you know, to make it work on paper, make it work as easy as you can on paper, and having done that, you can have a reasonable expectation of being successful in your endeavors. It does require a little thinking, and, you know, until you reach that point where you can think it through, you definitely need some coaching. Whereupon, having received that, you can coach someone else. And there we go. We're networking now.
Right. Right. I want to ask you one more question, and then I want to give you an opportunity just to offer some of your gems of knowledge to entrepreneurs coming up. Do you see entrepreneurship as a way to help address the current governmental, economic, and social problems the United States faces, as well as other nations? As you might know, The U.S. is at least $14 trillion in debt at the federal level. Many states are in dire financial situations. Local governments are, and particularly the U.S. has more people than ever on food stamps. And additionally, internationally, the United States is being, you know, targeted by China and Russia in ways it was not before. Do you see the purposes of the Constitution, which was to give Americans a way to express their unique talents? Do you see entrepreneurship as a vehicle for that now, or has that time passed?
I don't think when we look at history that we can dispute that entrepreneurship has always been the way in this country, that the founding fathers broke with the mother country due to the fact that they would not accept the controls that the king and placed upon the colonies, that they found that repressive, and that they found that they was attempting to control their wealth, and they devised to have a better plan. And we have history to show us that when people are honest and seek the right methods of growth and to let a man accumulate from his labor. You know, there's a basic tenet of reality that if you work, you should get something from it. And, of course, that's lower than...
Is there something playing in the background? I hate to interrupt you. Oh, is that my phone?
Hold on just a minute. Let me get that out of the way. All right, is that better?
Yes, okay.
You should benefit from your labor. And those of us who can both benefit from labor and what we're going to call our mental ability to systematically by a systematic approach to how we do things, to duplicate that physical labor multiple times, well, of course, they should make more money. Because they're dipping into the data stream of money, of course acquiring more for themselves, but having been able to do that, they should be examples of people with the intellectual ability and with the moral and ethical responsibility to extend that wealth towards other people. And otherwise, in some method, the person who takes wealth in a network and redirects that wealth is kind of like the good king. He's trying to spread the wealth more beneficially than it would be if left undirected. Because these things exist. We're not creating anything. We're simply rearranging, shaping it, repositioning it, and the ultimate means of any, the ultimate goal of any of that is to benefit others as much as yourself. Now, if you do that, then of course there is some worthwhile and desirable or deservable benefit that you're going to achieve from that because you did a good thing and you should be rewarded for good efforts, good morals, seeking the betterment of others as much as yourself. And if you're successful in that, then what's wrong with you being better off in every method that exists? So, yeah, entrepreneurship has always been with us. It is a method whereupon one looks and desires something more for himself than what would just, as I say, he will accumulate like the like dew in the morning, you know, just falls everywhere. If you want something more than that, then you're gonna have to master your possibilities. Now you want to take a shower by going out in the morning and let the dew fall on you, or you want to have hot and cold water to direct that water the way you want it. So, you know, it's entrepreneurship is us taking control of the data of the money flow that exists. That has to exist in some method. It doesn't have to be money. It can be material. It can be whatever. But this is the era of our life. You know, we need oxygen to breathe as physical beings. Entrepreneurship is dipped into the stream of merchandise of wealth and adequately obtain enough for both ourselves and the looking after of our brother man. We are our brother's keepers. If we have wealth, are we going to let our brother starve to death? No, we're not going to do that. It doesn't mean that one person can feed everybody. But it definitely means if collectively we all follow the same path, then we're able to take care of each other. Because we have this tremendous asset in the physical world to supply our needs, and it's called the earth. And we have something that's even greater than that, and we won't divulge into that this time, but I'm sure anyone with a fifth grade education will realize there's something greater than planet Earth. And that also has been a provider of the needs of mankind. So, you know, entrepreneurship is definitely something that everyone should look at. Because whether you like it or not, we're all in business somehow. That's unavoidable. And if you're going to be in business, let's do this. It's good. It's beneficial. With as less problems that we can, whereupon having obtained the necessary things in life, we can move on to the more perfect things in the experience of life. Not to work to live. I mean, we don't live to work. Let's get this right. We want to work, you know, we want to work. And in working, we want to live, and the living being the more important thing. We're not living to work. We work because we live. Because that is an expression of how we involve ourselves in the equation of life experience and the assets of this planet that we are not creating. They have always been here in one form or another. So, yes, as you say, entrepreneurship is the method where individually we achieve some independence. You know, being independent to make certain decisions in our life. And our government should be the same. This country shouldn't be borrowing money from anybody. Why? You know, what kind of worthwhile endeavors have we involved ourselves in the nation that has cost this country money? We shouldn't be losing money doing worthwhile things, because the worthwhile things that we were doing, we would have sufficient commodities that we could reduce with our hands ourselves. So we have to start looking at, is someone manipulating the wealth of this country? Is someone stealing? Has someone stole from the American people? No matter what type of government you have, the major defect in any government are bad, wicked, greedy people who would be kings over us, but not good kings, taken from the people to lay up for themselves, not willing to partnership advantageously with the people by whom they have used to acquire this wealth. So as the old lady said in the old hamburger commercial many years ago, she said, where's the beef? Well, we want to know, where's the money? Where has our money gone? Where? And as people become more aware of how wealth is made, then they become more educated to rightfully inquire. If you say, I owe you, please tell me how that is possible. The founding fathers of this country did not accept the reality that they owed England any wealth. They were to reduce wealth and send it back to England. Of course, at that time, England being the greatest empire that exists in the world, they did not see themselves having a perpetual obligation to the crown. And that was a rightful observation and conclusion. But bear in mind, in reality, that battle is still ongoing today. It is not all right for people to be in debt that they did not, by their own voluntary decision, enter into a methodology that caused that debt to be assumed to occur and to be assumed that it is their responsibility to pay back. But that is exactly where the American people stand today. And, as you become more educated in methods of making money, you become more educated in the matters of how you lose money, too, because one's on one hand, one's on the other. If you can make it, you can find a way to stop losing it. So it requires some education, and that's what we're sorely in need of in this country, to realize money don't grow on trees, but apples can, oranges can, bananas can, nuts, and that those things can be commodities that we can control that do not indebt us. If someone is in the process of a commodity and our use of it, we get farther and farther in debt, the use of that commodity, then we need to stop. We need to stop eating off the debt tree. Everything is a money tree in one matter or another. But the debt tree yields no usable fruit. It yields a continuing curse, whereupon, upon acceptance, we stay in need and our labors are taken away from us. And someone gives us only a percentage whereupon they decide that that is sufficient for us to barely survive. That is not what we dreamed of when this nation was conceived. We have seen that all over the world.
And with that being said, I want to bring up an artist that I love to close us out, Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye, of course, became very well known as a balladeer with Motown. And you know his album What's Going On, which was his highest selling record at Motown, Berry Gordy, who was the founder of Motown, didn't want it released. There's one song on that album called Save the Children. And in that song, he says, you know, who cares to save a world in despair? Who cares to save the children? So I'd like to ask you, because your company seems to speak of, you know, being involved in a number of different industries to advance the purpose of life, which is to live. but it also seems to have a desire to help meet the needs of people. So as we close out, what kind of legacy can entrepreneurship leave the children who are going to have to deal with the problems their elders have created? Or does entrepreneurship leave a curse? Close us out by telling us what you think in the context of that song by Marvin Gaye, if you're familiar with it, or if you're not, how I described it to you.
Well, I'm somewhat vaguely familiar with it. I find Marvin Gaye to be both a realist and a visionary both. I think most people who struggle from a background of inadequate funding to be successful can comment that their parents didn't leave them nothing to work with. One of the best things we can do is you don't have to give your children great wealth, but give them something to work with. You know, if I gotta fight the bear, give me a big enough gun to kill the bear. Don't leave me with a 22 and say, well, he's gotta get by best way he can. Leave me with something I can knock the bear down with. So entrepreneurship being reduplicable, you know, being able to be replicated again and again by following sound methods, has a life of its own. And just like when one makes a will to disperse of their assets at their death, it continues on. If you own a piece of property and you died, that property doesn't vanish away when you die. It's passed along to someone else. So it's good to obtain. And the best method of experiencing the art of obtaining wealth is passing that wealth on to someone else, giving them a leg up on the future. It's like running a relay race. The person who runs the last part of the race and crosses the line has had the accumulated efforts of all those who came before him. They gave him something to work with. They didn't drop the baton, which is not the worst thing that can happen. They didn't throw the baton away, you know. And so they passed something on that's usable. Some people will call it a lot of things. They can call it hope. But we live, as a certain song lady said, in a material world in some instances, and it requires some material things to function in a material world. So there's nothing wrong with passing wealth on. And that wealth doesn't have to exist in just material things. But it's nice to have a gun and to have bullets in it, too. So, yes, you know, that's...
I think the Duke would appreciate that comment, John Wayne. I think you'd appreciate that. Well, Mr. Gaye, we want to thank you for a very interesting and fascinating interview. You seem to have a business that has the possibility to speak to a range of issues at present, and we'll look forward to perhaps hearing from you in the future about what ALSI has done. And,
well, it would be interesting. It would be, and I do thank you for the opportunity. And you know, in the event of time, there is a time and a moment for necessary things, and I perceive that helping people is always a necessary thing. So I do thank you for the opportunity to allow me to throw out my projections for my company. I see it as being a great concept, and being a very enveloping process whereupon many people can be touched in needful ways, and where people who have particular skills and particular, you know, ambitions can be augmentation to the process. You know, a good thing should be good for everybody. You know, it shouldn't be something that, hey, it's good for me, but it's not good for you. Yes, that sometimes that situation does exist, but it's not the one that we want. We want the one where, as I say, everybody sits down at the table and everybody smiles and pats their belly and says, it was a feast. It was a feast. Thank the cook.
I think King Arthur would appreciate that. Since you
think he would?
Yeah.
I think the only person that didn't get the fool at the Last Supper with Christ was Judas. He left early. Everybody else got fooled, so don't leave early. And the man said, you go to the wedding, stay till they cut the cake. Stay till they cut the cake.
Most definitely. Most definitely. On that note, we're going to close out. Thank you so much, Mr. Gaither.